Morning, y'all. Now, this is the last in the series of Encounters with the Holy Spirit. We started actually 4 weeks ago because we had the Christmas break in the middle. So this is the final portion of that particular series that we're going to be speaking about today. Now, you know, it was in the late 1600s that Father Jacques Marquet was a missionary to the American Indians. And in his documentations, he claimed that just by simply presenting the Calumet, which is that, fighting between warring native tribes would just ease. Thus, that ritual soon became known in folklore as smoking the peace pipe. Now, the Lakota claimed that white buffalo calf woman brought the shanupa, which is the sacred smoke ceremony, to serve as a bridge between this world and the Wonka Tonka, or the great mystery. Now, I've smoked some strange smoke in my time. And I understand that when you're under the influence of that stuff and other substances of similar manner, you do see and hear odd things. And of course, I truly believe that the world of the paranormal is waiting for that kind of reality to just emerge, because it opens the mind to this alternative dimension where the heavenly host and angels and the fingerlings of the Almighty roam, applying mischief and seeking favors and looking for human habitations and portals into the flesh. And I truly believe that such things ought not to be explored. Now, I'll just say that clearly, that you ought not to be able to, you ought to stay away from that stuff. But from the beginning, I really believe that mankind has attempted to unravel and use these occulted mysteries for gain and status. We always seek the unknown. We always are exploratory out there, trying to figure things out. That's the nature of who we are almost from the beginning of Genesis, when God said, don't do that. And they said, I wonder what would happen if we did. And of course, they explored. Now, the Church of the Living God has sorely been afflicted with what St. James calls the wisdom that is descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. And those notions are locked in the New Age philosophies and magic and generally evil, and the intellect of the believer can indeed be deceived by strange smoke. Now, I want you to understand, though, that the Christian church has had this magnificent hidden truth that lifted the veil between the realities that exist. St. Paul said it this way: if any have heard of this dispensation of grace, which is given to me to give to you, that how by revelation Jesus made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, whereby when you read you might understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was made not known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now, I'm going to stop there and, as the old Bible teachers used to say, explain a few things. Now, you just have to bear with me as I go through this. It's important to understand that the mystery, the great mystery of God, has been unfolded. You see, from the beginning, before time, before anything, the Almighty understood that the free will of man would eventually condemn his creation. If it hadn't been Adam, if it hadn't been Eve, somewhere, someplace down the line, someone would have messed up the plan. That just was the truth. So before the blueprint even of the celestial world or the earth was formed, God conceived a plan that even Lucifer couldn't discern. And this is how it says it in the work of 1 Corinthians. But we seek the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now I want you to understand this. Our Lord Jesus Christ would have never have been lifted up into glory at Golgotha if Lucifer's minions had been aware that by doing so, they would have erased the skin. That's on a body, by the way. They would have erased the skin of the hell's slaves. I want you to know, Satan would have never have allowed for that had he known. None of the evil ones knew, because had they known, it would have never have happened. This was a thing that was really, really locked way back in time in the very brilliant, brilliant mind of God, hidden, kept. Wow. Now, this is a lesson in doctrine, so please don't go to sleep. Please don't go to sleep. You know, at a certain point, God called out Abram and his wife Sarai to conceive the nation of Israel. Yahweh chose these two pagans. They were not believers at the time. They had no idea of Yahweh at that time. They only knew perhaps the one God at that time, Abram in particular. God chose him out of all the pagan world, and he promised them that their progeny would be more numerous than the stars. And as they aged, and as they got older, and as everything got weak, and everything kind of got lost, they doubted God and tried to do it their way. And that unconditional grace changed right then, along with their names, to Abraham and to Sarah. And then for centuries, the Hebrew people chafed under the rite of circumcision, commandments, sacrifices, baptisms, and the orders of rabbis and teachers and scribes. And during all that time, Israel waffled back and forth and acted out against God time and time again. And slowly but surely, God had finally got enough, and all the clans of Israel were led into Babylonian captivity and then into Roman submission. The Jews had locked themselves into darkness until that very night of Mary's encounter with the Spirit that I spoke of 2 weeks ago, and the resultant birth of our Savior. Light came into the world. Finally, at long last, light came into the world. And then a few short years later, Jesus was murdered, and the Holy Spirit enveloped the remaining disciples, who began to warn all of the Jewish leaders that the Davidic kingdom on earth was about to become a reality. After the day of Pentecost, these guys went out and said, "Hey, God is coming back. Get your house in order." And those that believed sold all that they had and gave it to the common pot and joyously awaited, expecting his imminent return. And signs and wonders were all over Palestine, given out freely by the hands of the Lord's deacons, elders, and apostles. And one deacon in particular was an intense guy. One deacon in particular could preach the word like you've never heard before. And in fact, if you want to hear that sermon, it's recorded in the book of Acts by the deacon Stephen, who laid low those rabbi and convicted them and said, "You killed the Holy One of Israel." Now, they really did not like that message. They got upset at Stephen. Said, "Who are you to be preaching against us?" Though they were under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Again, that was an encounter by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit right there. And they chafed and resented and stoned, that smoke again, stoned, put to death, Stephen. And oh my goodness, my goodness. God said, "You know what? You'll never get it. Israel, you'll never get it. I'm withholding back. I'm stopping the program. I'm halting it." He stood up in heaven and he set him aside. Said, "I ain't having nothing to do with you no more. Israel, you're gone. Hasta luego. Goodbye. I've had enough of you. I don't want to even smell you anymore." Intense. Wow. But, you know, God's mystery keeps working. The hand of God keeps turning. Stuff still happens. Revelation's coming forward. And Paul gives us this about himself. He says, "Unto me, whom less than the Lord, least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." You see, this dispensation of grace was opened up, ushered in by this most unlikely of saviors, a short, bald, ugly, rich, snobbish, well-educated, Jewish, up-and-coming elitist by the name of Saul of Tarsus. Now, I want you to understand that's God's irony working there. He said, "You know what? I got something I got to say to my people even yet, and I'm going to really make it clear. I'm going to take this old boy who's a liar and a condemner of souls and a God-hater in Jesus Christ. I'm going to get that man on the road to Damascus." Woo. Well, this is what it says. Whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoices in my sufferings for you all, and fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in his body, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which was given to me to give to you, to complete the word of God, even the mystery which has been hidden from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his sins, to his saints. Okay, believe this if you can. If you can, Paul is the only apostle for this generation. Now, I want you to hear that clearly now. St. Paul is the only apostle for this age of grace. The only one. Period. And only his epistles are our scripture. And never, never can the law of Christ be applicable again until this age ends. Spiritual confusion is the only outcome of any attempt to try to blend law or grace or the Gospels of Matthew to John or from Hebrews to Revelation with the Pauline epistles. It cannot, listen carefully, it cannot be done. And when you try it, all it is just garbage. Blend it, you won't get it. You won't understand it. And it's rightfully contradictory. I want you to understand that. It's rightfully that way. Most of the scripture is written to a people and a tribe and a culture called the Jews. And Jewish theology is apart from us. And that's the profound mystery. Very deep, profound mystery. Outside of Israel, the rest of the world was without the one God, lost in the shadow lands of idols and religions of nonsense. They were without a hope of eternal life in heaven with the Creator of all things. And at that time, in that dispensation, only Israel had Yahweh's heart. But then the Son of God opened up the gates of heaven. And the declarative comes this way: "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the hatred, even the law of commandments and ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Though it wasn't released for centuries after creation, it was always determined in the mind of God that people of all races, ethnicities, and colors should have a chance for redemption. That was the mystery hidden way back there. Didn't make where you were coming from, who you were going to get your chance for the faith. That's an amazing truth. So it was only a matter of time, circumstance, and the right man for this opportunity to be let out of the bag. That grand scheme came to Saul on the road to Damascus. He plainly stated that was Stephen being stoned. Then Saul is saved, stating that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And what does all this mean to us? Well, it's the meeting of the mind. to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the Word was hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. In plain speak, every saved person, Jew or Gentile, man or woman, slave or free, is equal before the throne of God and granted immediate access upon proclamation of that good profession. How would you like it if Jesus said to you, all of the men will have to be circumcised before you can come to Christ? How would you like it if Jesus said to you, all of you would have to follow the law to the T before you can get saved? How would you like it if Jesus said, all of you would have to be sprinkled, not once, but many times during the course of the year, in order to stay saved? Would that not be an absolute drag? You see, our good God never intended for hell. Now get this, God never intended for hell to exist. That was not a God thing. Or that any should perish without redemption. And though Satan now comprehends the infinite grace of God, Satan gets it. He understands what happened now after the fact. He's got it. But Satan would confound that truth and make our scriptures incomprehensible and full of contradictions, giggling as ignorant Bible teachers make it even worse. And I don't know if you've ever heard it or seen it, but I have. Boy, the thousands and thousands and thousands of preachers who can't understand the basic reality of the division of the Word of God. And how hard it is to suffer under that kind of intermingling. Apostle Peter said this. This is Peter talking. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some are hard to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle with as they do the other scriptures unto their own destruction. I will tell you, back then, even before they got out into the world, there was a mess trying to understand the scripture as they garbled it together. And for too long, so many of us have been under the cloud of a system of condemnation, of guilt and shame, and the vain practices of rosaries and confessions and flagellations and good deeds and things that just weigh down the soul. My goodness gracious, it should not be this way. You see, it's really a radical, very radical thing to really, really know that once Jesus is real in the heart of yourself and you've truly confessed, nothing can take that salvation away. Nothing. Neither can anything earn it, nor can it be set aside, nor can it be erased. It's a true maxim in this age of grace. Once you are saved, you are forever saved. Now, I realize most of you in this audience know that. And I may have given too much scripture today for easy comprehension. But I got to tell you, that revelation of the Spirit has got to be fully exposed. So our encounter this morning, a meeting of the great mind of God to be introduced by the Holy Spirit. And it's the Word itself that makes this question into a proclamation. For who has known the mind of our Lord that one should instruct him? But we only who have the mind of Christ. Understand that the mystery is for us to uncover, to understand, to fully teach, to be fully applicable to all those who know Jesus Christ, because we have his faculties, we have his consciousness, we have his awareness in this body. We are not unenlightened. We are people who have the truth. Our minds should never be influenced by smoke and mirrors of bad theology and wonkatoy doctrines. I want you to understand that. This is not my faith. I do not believe in smoke and mirrors. I am a man who believes in the hard doctrine of grace. Now, I want you to understand, we've had our share this year. And here are those questions. Why did God let that man kill those little kids? Why doesn't God heal my little brother from cancer? If we believe hard enough, then Jesus will grant my desires. Isn't that right? Where was God when my father was burned up in the fire? Don't we all go to heaven? Why can't I believe in any God I choose? How come Scripture says it one way in one place and almost the opposite in the other? All those questions are out in the community of faith and more. And the answers we get back, I am so ashamed to say this. It's shameful. The answers we most often get back to the hardest questions are so vague and so nonsensical, it almost makes you want to cringe because we're all so afraid and too cautious because we lack Bible knowledge. I want to tell you what, some of us in this audience know football 10 times better than they know the Word of God. Now, I like football. Well, let me rephrase that. I like the Broncos. Well, let me rephrase that one. I like them when they're winning. I want you to understand that most of the church doesn't care so much for the isms, the verses, or the debate. Most of the church enjoys the pablum and the dessert. That's true. And we all want God to do for us what we want, and we all want to be told what we want to hear. That's the human condition. Please, please, Harl, don't tell me that I have to study the Word of God. Just tell me what to believe. Please, please, Harl, don't tell me that a Bible study that interferes with the Bronco game is more important, because it just isn't true. Don't tell me that Scripture has more meaning than the stats of my favorite baseball team. Please don't tell me that. In fact, don't tell me anything except I'm a good man or I'm a good woman. Thank you very much. Shake my hand. Good sermon. I don't know what you said, but good sermon, and I'm out the door. You know, I will tell you, though, I will tell you this is true. And I've seen it, I don't know how many times, when you are in conflict, meaning us, when we are in turmoil, when we have the questions come up in us and they're right at our doorstep, we run to anybody that can help us out with something meaningful, do we not? Then we want God. Then we want something to make sense. Listen, by just presenting grace, the conflicts within us would ease. To take the ritual of Bible study brings inward peace. Our apostle uncovered for us the mystery of this dispensation, and this sacred trust bridged the last and final gulf between heaven and earth. And that substance used was the shed blood of Christ. This should be our documentation. This should be your acceptable day, your day of salvation, January the 6th, 2013. If you haven't got to the cross, you ought to get to the cross today. You ought to make it real in your heart today. I believe in you, Lord Jesus Christ, as my personal Savior, that you died and you rose again and you live today. Into my heart, come and make peace with me. That ought to be your cry today if you haven't done it already, and I know most of you have. But our true commitment after our salvation should be this and this alone, to know the Word of God so that we can offer the right answers and so that the Holy Spirit has something to work with when we encounter those questions on the road and byways of our life. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God and for the meaning behind it and for the great mystery that was revealed, that under grace we are saved eternally and forever. Amen.